To see you here in Grace Walk. I trust that you had a good week. I did, and I'm just glad to see you. Got a couple people out, but then a couple people back, so we're doing okay. We kind of, you know, little bit out, little bit in, so nothing wrong with that. That's just life. I read to the ladies this morning in the prayer room my quote of the day that I read. I found this quote in a book, and I liked it so much I wanted to share it with them, and I'm going to share it with you as well. The quote goes like this: "Let me remind you that this is God's universe, and He does things His way. You may think you have a better way, but you don't have a universe to rule." Don't you like that? We tend to question God sometimes in His processes, but He's got a lot going on, and yet He's God. He can handle it. But we got to trust Him that He knows what He's doing, and fall into tracks, fall into what He's got going for us in His world, His universe. Okay, I hope to finish up 1 John chapter 5 today. I have thoroughly appreciated the message that John has had for us, and in a somewhat of a similar way, John's message in the Gospel of John is very close to what his message is in 1 John in these short 5 chapters. And the message is that the most important thing for a child of God is our relationship with Jesus Christ. The greatest generation, you've heard this title for the generation before me, and before us, and some of you are in that generation. The greatest generation was good in so many ways, in keeping a schedule, in being faithful, in being brave, in being whatever. There's a million good reasons why the greatest generation was the greatest generation. But the downside to being good at schedules and being faithful to be here in church and whatever it is that we do in our service for the Lord, we can often let that schedule take over. Can anybody say amen to that? And I do this. I'm at the top of this list because I'm structured and, you know, I do my things. And I have to sometimes remind myself, this week, Dwayne, I know you got this schedule, but this week, Dwayne, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ? How many times have you talked to Him? How many times have you got into His Word? All through the Gospel of John, He started out with this one statement that the Word was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. We find out the Word is Jesus Christ. Today we find out, time willing, Lord willing, creek don't rise, we'll find out that the water of the Word is what saves us, and the water of the Word is what cleanses us. Well, are we allowing God's water of the Word to touch our heart? So there's so much in these five short chapters that have been a blessing to my heart. And in just a moment, we'll pick that back up. But before we start, would you bow your head with me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank You for Your wonderful way with Your people. We don't have to guess about much, Lord. We just have to have faith in the Word, faith in You, and faith in Your processes. And Lord, we, in our age group, we appreciate schedules, and we appreciate getting together, and we appreciate church and classes, Lord. But there's a whole generation coming behind us that don't seem to appreciate that. And so, Lord, I pray that they would be able to find what it is in the Word of God that gives them a strength that builds their relationship with You. And God, it may not look exactly like what our generation is used to, but Lord, whatever it looks like, I pray that it's genuine. And we know it's going to involve the sanctity of the Word of God. It's going to involve the the favored status of the church service, at least to some degree. But God, I just pray for these young people. I pray for these campers who came back this week. Decisions were made and seeds were sowed. And we continue to pray, as several have over the past 2 weeks, that you would raise among these young men and women leaders for the kingdom. Young men and young women who have a desire to stand firm with the faith, that grows their relationship with Jesus Christ in a world that's lost its way, to be light and be example and to be encouraging to other of God's people. Thank you, Lord, for these people here with us. I just pray that these words from your word would ring true in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so last week we ended, well, we were right in the middle of verse number 6. So for time's sake, I'm going to start right there, and we'll read through to the end of the chapter. Verse number 6, 1 John chapter 5. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All righteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding. I love that phrase, that verse. Hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. That very last verse, I just thought of something this week, and God started or had in the minds of the writers of God's word, the very first verse in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and 1 John is nearly, it's just a couple of verses or a couple of books from the end of the Bible. I thought in the beginning God created the earth, and he ends it with a phrase, little children, keep yourselves from idols. How important it is for us to have a desire for nothing to be stronger than our faith in the Lord. That's an idol. And I've learned idols in my life can even look good. They can even sound good. But because they take precedence over my faith, over my dedication, over my commitment to God's Son, Jesus Christ, then they're an idol. So you know, he created many of the things that are idols to us. You know that. So it's just a way. It just struck me funny, the last verse in these five chapters, and that's what he chose to say. So verse number 6 says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Now, there are three things we want to keep in mind that the word water and Jesus Christ are one and the same. That'll help us understand this. I mentioned last week out of Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it." He's talking about us, the church. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." So they at times can be used interchangeably. The word is what we hear when we're convicted of our sin and we are saved. We are washed by the water of the word that allows the child of God, once he is saved, to grow in his faith and to become more like Christ all the time. And John is looking back on his memory. He's remembering back to that side of the crucifixion. And as that soldier threw that spear into the side of Jesus and he sees this water and this blood come out of the side of Jesus, there was a mental note apparently that was placed in his head. And here he refers back to that. "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood." The blood signifies the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, where he shed his precious blood. And through the Holy Spirit, John is helping us try to see something here, how important this is. And it's this right here. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, by trusting in his name, by trusting in the fact that he shed his blood on the cross for us, and it was all witnessed to by God's Holy Spirit. How important is the Spirit of God from our salvation on to the rest of our life? The Word, the Spirit, and the blood. If we do not believe in the death of Jesus Christ, we might as well close our Bibles and go home and have brunch, because we're just wasting our time. That's how important it is. Water speaks of what? It speaks of the Word of God. You remember what Jesus told Nicodemus when he came seeking to the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So blood refers to the death. Water refers to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And it is the Spirit that bears witness. It pulls them together. It's the Spirit who can make these truths live in our heart. Why do we pray for God's Holy Spirit to touch lives today in the service? I don't know what kind of week Brother Chris has had. I don't know what kind of week you've had. But I do pray in this service this morning that God's Holy Spirit would put it all together. That Brother Chris would be able to read from God's Word and the Holy Spirit take that and make that meaningful for this person sitting right here on this front row. The Spirit worked when John wrote this book. The Spirit wrote when Christ was on this earth and had this ministry for people and the early church was started, and the Spirit still works today. One of the greatest things that you and I could have a desire for is that God's Spirit be actively involved in our life. So he says in verse number... Let me say this. I don't think I said that good enough. The Word of God, taken by the Spirit of God, can apply the blood of Christ to hearts and lives. when you're saved, and long after you're saved. God's Spirit is the one who matures us. God's Spirit is the one who assists me and you getting along. God's Spirit is the one who brings us to this place and ties everybody together. And John continues, I got to move on, or I won't finish this chapter after all. Verse number 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word. Now, who was the Word? It was Christ. You remember? The Word is Jesus Christ. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's easy to understand. That's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they're in heaven, and they bear witness of what takes place in heaven. But John kind of breaks it down just a little bit in verse number 8, and he talks about what happens on the earth. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. What's the water? Same as the Word. It's Jesus Christ. The Spirit and Christ and what he did on the cross, the blood. And these three agree in one. Well, what's the agreement that these three have? Well, they agree on one purpose. And the purpose, that's the purpose of presenting Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world who shed his blood upon Calvary and paid the penalty for my sin and your sin. That's what they agree upon. That's the only message that is found in the Word of God, and that's the message that we should be concerned about. Peter says, being born again, in 1 Peter 1:23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the Spirit of God is able to take the Word of God and make somebody acknowledge that they're a sinner and that they want to be saved. That's the Spirit of God. That's his ability. Also, the Spirit of God can take the Word of God and convict my heart and your heart when we sin against the Lord. The Spirit can take what the Word of God says and help us to grow our faith and help us mature our faith and our relationship with the Lord. See, God's Holy Spirit is pretty important, but he won't do things by himself. He'll do it through the Word of God, and he'll do it using the thing, and he's going to talk about credibility here in just a minute. And the biggest message that he's got for us is all three are required. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the fact that Christ died for our sins, the blood. Well, I started to say look in our hymnal, but we don't use hymnals. Look in the hymnals that we don't have anymore and turn the pages and tell me how many songs in the hymnal have to do with the blood. They're full. Without the blood, we have nothing. And then he says in verse number 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Now, this verse is all about credibility. Now, we don't know who to believe anymore, do we? I mean, in our world today, you turn on the TV or you take your phone and whatever news channel you look at, it may be fabricated, it may not be. John is simply making the statement that it's possible for us to believe anything that we want to believe, but the only thing that we should be concerned about is what God says. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. What has he been testifying of? Well, that God's Spirit takes the Word, the water of the Word, and does great things in people's heart through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the witness. That's the message. He said, that's what you got to believe. I read this morning on a news feed that, AI, artificial intelligence, you've heard about all that, right? This is scary, by the way. A Hollywood actor that died a year ago is commenting on a Facebook post today, although dead. And you know who's doing it? Is artificial intelligence. The artificial intelligence, I don't know what the word to use, but it was given the permission to communicate for this person when he was alive. Now that he's gone, the AI is liking things that happened yesterday or what that was said yesterday. He's been gone a year. Now, because of this verse, we'll hear anything. And John is just helping us see that don't believe what men say. Believe what God says. You can take this to the bank. He continues in verse number 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Hey, who's the witness in ourselves if you're a child of God? It's God's Spirit. Aren't you glad you don't have to do this on your own? I mean, I mess it up bad enough when I do things on my own and don't consult the Holy Spirit's leading. But he says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. We saw back in verse number 6 that the Spirit is the witness. The Spirit is the one that puts all this together. And here he's telling us that person of God is within the child of God. Man, aren't you glad of that? If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and he testifies that these things are true. That is such an encouragement. You know why that's an encouragement? Well, I'm glad that you asked. It's an encouragement because I could be listening to this same message on the radio or on the internet, or I could be sitting across town hearing it from somebody else or from Brother Chris right here. And you know what? The Holy Spirit has the same capability to make it mean something to me all four places. That's his job. He's the witness. He's the one that puts it all. And John, he's never minced words in all these five chapters. He says, if you don't believe that, you're making God a liar. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Pretty strong language right there. Why? Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. What record is it? Verse number 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You remember, eternal life is much more than has to do with just time. Another concept that John's brought to us. Eternal life is our life in Christ. I mean, we can experience some eternal life today. Why? Because it's Christ. It's life in Christ. These five chapters have been instrumental in helping me to see more and more and more that I need to worry more and more and strive more and more so that my relationship with Christ is A-okay. And not so much my ritual and my schedule and my planning and the things which I like to do. And those things are all good, but I got to hold them in check or they'll be my idol. Can I say that again? All those things are good. They're good for me. My schedule, my planning, thinking about things, making sure you're doing the right thing, all that's good. But if you go to extreme, they're your idol. And John's helping us say, hey, keep yourselves from anything that hinders your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. That's the thing that we need to worry about. He says in verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It hit me this week that here in these last 10 or so verses, he's repeating things. Why do you think he's repeating things? Because he wants us to know them. Now imagine yourself in a church far away when this letter was written, and this letter comes to you, and John knows he's only written 5 chapters in this letter. He knows that, okay? And yet, the last little bit of the letter, he starts repeating things. Well, if I got that letter and the person in the letter started repeating things, especially at the end, I think I would think, oh, this must be important. Don't you think that? He's repeating this. I better look at it again because he said this several times, and he's not one to usually repeat things unless they're really, really, really important. He says in verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So he gives us 2 purposes in that verse for writing this epistle. That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, that's salvation, and that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He ends this whole discourse, these 5 chapters, on the fact that you need to have assurance of your salvation, and this is how. Valerie and I were talking yesterday about how important it is to know that you're saved, that you have assurance of your salvation. But you can only think that about your situation. I cannot think that about somebody else. That's between them and God. That's between their heart and his leadership, his prompting. Now, we do have meters and we do have gauges. Christ in his ministry gives us many. Christ says so many times, "By their fruits ye shall know them." He says so many times, if you're a follower, you're going to look like this. If you're a follower of me, you're going to do this, or you're going to think this way. Those are the commandments of Christ. But I've got to let me be the judge for me and nobody else. Because it's awful tempting. Don't we like to get in there and judge sometimes? Yeah, we do. We got a member of our family that we love very much, and the temptation is to get too involved with whether or not they're saved. And finally, after us talking about it for a few minutes, or more than a few minutes, we got to let the Lord have this. that's between him and her or the Lord, because God's got it all handled. But if they do get saved, it'll be through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God that's making it all happen. John ended his gospel the same way, if you'll remember. In John chapter 20, verse 30, he says, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ." Now, think back with me. John 1:1, he brought Jesus to us. In the beginning was the Word. And here, in the entire, 21 chapters or of John, 21 or 20 chapters of John, and then 5 chapters of 1 John, and he's saying the same thing. This is what's important, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not if you put on a suit and tie and get to church, or not if you hit all 3 church services of the week. Now that's important. I mean, a lot of these things are all important for us, but I can do all of those things in a show to impress somebody, Cana, and you can too. We can do all those things and check off all the boxes, and yet our relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be absolutely horrible. Well, we don't trust him, we don't believe him. And I think John is helping us see the importance of not being that way. And so he says in verse 14, and this is the confidence. Now, that word just means boldness. You feel like being bold today? And this is the boldness that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Our assurance in our salvation, our assurance that we have a solid relationship in God's Son, Jesus Christ, gives us confidence. It gives us boldness that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh." Now, that's just a lot of words, and they mean that Christ died on the cross, and if I believe in what He did on the cross for my sin, then I will have a confidence that I can pray and that He will hear me. Now, let's not leave out those four words at the end of that verse, according to His will. Pretty important. If you and I are in fellowship with Him, if we are walking with Him, then our prayer would be to have God's will in everything in our life, in every circumstance and in everything that we do. So we got to be careful to think that we can have confidence to go to the Lord and pray for something that wouldn't be in God's will. I mean, there's a lot of things that we could pray for that God may not want us to have. He may know that I can't handle this thing that I'm praying for. And there's a lot out there that I can't handle. George Mueller put it like this: prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, it is laying hold of His willingness. You know what I should do and what you should do? We should try to find out what is God's will for our life and then pray for that. Now, but that's power right there. Because I know what I want for me, and I know what I want for my family that I love, and for you guys, but I got to make sure that all of that is in conformity to God's will. Because if it's not, it's not going to be in conformance with what God wants for our life, for my life. In verse 15, it says, "And we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask. And if we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." When we are walking in fellowship with the Lord, when we are following Him, we can have the confidence that He will hear our prayer. He will hear what we ask and answer our prayer. There again, the answer may not be the answer we desire. We're not to come to Him with a hodgepodge of things that may pull us away from Him. We're not to come to Him with request when our life is being controlled by our old man, our sinful nature. If I am living in sin, if my flesh is controlling my life, then I don't have the confidence to come to Him because I'm not in His will. I wouldn't even know His will. When we get away from Him and we refuse to look inside of the Word of God for what we should do, then we don't know how to think. We don't know what God wants for us outside of the Word of God. And He's just simply making the statement that there's a boldness that we can have when we get on God's side and pray for what He wants. This next verse in verse 16 is a doozy. And it cannot be done in 3 minutes, okay? So what I'm going to do is read the verse, then I'm going to pray that God help you understand it until next week, okay? If a man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you here. When I was going through this chapter a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I knew John was tying up the end of his letter, and I, you know, sometimes you just start thinking, my mind goes wild, and I start thinking, why is he bringing this up? He's got no time to explain it because it's the end of the book. And then when I got into it, I realized he's saying the same thing that he's been saying. There is a need. There is a great need in the life of the child of God to live according to God's will. Correct? Sure, correct. We don't always do that. Sometimes we allow unrighteousness into our life and we displease the Lord and we pay for that some way. There's a consequence to that. Don't know what it is. We know what it is maybe at the time. But sometimes that unrighteousness is something that God causes a physical death in the life of his child. It's happened several times. You probably remember Ananias and Sapphira in the early church. They lied, and God took their lives. John is helping us see here, there's that, but there's also many sins in our life for which there is no physical death. And that's what he's talking about in verse 16, is physical death only. It's not spiritual death, because the child of God has eternal life. And he's simply saying that believers can commit a sin for which God will call them home. When I was thinking about that, I thought how important it is for me to not resist God's leading in my life. If he's been dealing with me about something for 2 or 3 years, I might ought to perk up and pay attention. That's all I'm going to say. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.